It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The idea that we are now a few days away from a new administration, given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity of serving in 5 administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today, is that there is no question that there will be a surprise outbreak. The thing we're extraordinarily confident about is that we are going to see this in the next few years. Thank you.
All right, Sandy Rios with you this morning. That was the familiar voice now of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has become an advisor to the president, a well-known figure, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease since 1984. He's been leading the White House Coronavirus Task Force, but surprisingly enough, that particular statement was made 3 years ago at Georgetown University, at the very beginning of President Trump's presidency. There will be a pandemic, and it's coming soon. All right, so that's the salvo that Dr. Fauci launched before the administration took power. You might be interested to know, I was, that Dr. Fauci is, I don't know if the president knew this when he appointed him, but as I pointed out to you many, many times, he was a very, very close friend of Hillary Clinton's. We actually, because of the release of those email through WikiLeaks, we have email that he sent back and forth to Hillary. Basically, he said in one, please tell the secretary that I love her more than ever. A second email from him says, after she testified before Congress, anyone who had any doubts about the secretary's stamina and capability following her illness had those doubts washed away by today's performance before the Senate and the House. She faced extremely difficult circumstances at the hearings, and still she hit it right out of the park. Please tell her that we all love her and are very proud to know her. This is a professional communication from Dr. Anthony Fauci, and put that in position now. The speech he just gave at Georgetown, where he predicted a pandemic that would come quickly, soon, he said. This is right before Donald Trump is really in the full throes of taking office, and Dr. Fauci, the beloved friend of Hillary Clinton, has just predicted that. And then suddenly, 3 years later, he ends up in the White House every day leading this task force. So that's something to consider. There's a poll that shows that, in fact, I believe it's true. Americans trust Anthony Fauci more than they trust President Trump on the coronavirus epidemic. At least that was true a few weeks ago. We also know that his popularity ratings are very high. So enter this other documentary, this documentary that has been seen by 8 million people, that has been taken off of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Vimeo. It's just been removed, wiped out, eradicated. It's a video that features Dr. Judy Mikovits. Judy has a degree from biology at the University of Virginia. She has a PhD in molecular biology from George Washington University. She's the research director, or was, of Whitmore Peterson Institute for Neuroimmune Diseases. And she's just written a book that's number one on Amazon right now. So it's very controversial what she says in this film called Plandemic. It's 26 minutes long. It's produced by Mickey Willis from Elevate. Like I said, about 8 million people have already seen it, but they're removing it from the platforms as quickly as it appears. Because of that, I don't know Dr. Judy Mikovits, although I'm in contact now and hope to have her on soon. But I think it would be really important for you to hear this. I just do. And so we're going to walk through this video today, and I'm going to counter with things I know for a fact, just like the Anthony Fauci email to Hillary Clinton. I know that for a fact, that he loved her. I know what he said in Georgetown in 2017, but how do we know that the accusations that are made by Dr. Mikovits, and they are very serious, are true? I can't answer that, but I am going to comment as we go along listening to this video about what we do know. Here is the opening. Let's listen.
Dr. Judy Mikovits has been called one of the most accomplished scientists of her generation. Her 1991 doctoral thesis revolutionized the treatment of HIV/AIDS. At the height of her career, Dr. Mikovits published a blockbuster article in the journal Science. The controversial article sent shockwaves through the scientific community as it revealed that the common use of animal and human fetal tissues were unleashing devastating plagues of chronic diseases. For exposing their deadly secrets, the minions of Big Pharma waged war on Dr. Mikovits, destroying her good name, career, and personal life. Now, as the fate of nations hang in the balance, Dr. Mikovits is naming names of those behind the plague of corruption that places all human life in danger. So you made a discovery that conflicted with the agreed-upon narrative.
Correct.
And for that, they did everything in their powers to destroy your life.
Correct.
You were arrested.
Correct.
And then you were put under a gag order.
For 5 years, if I went on social media, if I said anything at all, they would find new evidence and put me back in jail. And it was one of the few times I cried, and it was because I knew there was no evidence the first time. And they, when you can unleash that kind of force to force someone into bankruptcy with a perfect credit score, and so that I couldn't bring my 97 witnesses, which included the heads, Tony Fauci, you know, Ian Lipkin, the heads of the public health and HHS, who would have had to testify that we did absolutely nothing wrong.
And so what did they charge you with?
Nothing.
But you were in jail.
I was held in jail with no charges. I was called a fugitive from justice. No warrant, literally drug me out of the house. Our neighbors are looking at what's going on here. You know, they searched my house without a warrant, literally terrorized my husband for 5 days. They said, if you don't find the notebooks, if you don't find the material, which was not in my possession, but planted in my house.
As if you took intellectual property from the laboratory. Is
yes.
that correct?
It was intended to appear as if I took confidential material, names, and intellectual property from the laboratory. And I could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that I didn't. Heads of our entire HHS colluded and destroyed my reputation, and the Department of Justice and the FBI sat on it and kept that case under seal, which means you can't say there's a case or your lawyers are held in contempt of court. So you can't even get a lawyer to defend you. So every single due process right was taken away from me, and to this day remains the same. I have no constitutional freedoms or rights.
Yet you sit here. I think a lot of people would probably have just taken the retirement out early, laid low, but you have decided to come forth when your gag order has been released to write a book called Plague of Corruption, Restoring Faith in the Promise of Science, and you are naming names.
Absolutely.
Apparently, their attempt to silence you has failed. And I have to ask, how do you sit here with confidence to call out these great forces and not fear for your life as you leave this building?
Because if we don't stop this now, we can not only forget our republic and our freedom, but we can forget humanity because we'll be killed by this agenda.
So, Anthony Fauci.
My name is Dr. Tony Fauci. I'm the director of
the man who is heading the pandemic task force, was involved in a cover-up.
He directed the cover-up. And in fact, everybody else was paid off, and paid off big time. Millions of dollars in funding from Tony Fauci, Tony Fauci's organization, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. These investigators that committed the fraud continue to this day to be paid big time by the NIAID.
And the whole world is listening to his advice for how to handle this current pandemic. How do we know that what he's saying is what we need to be learning?
what he's saying is absolute propaganda, and the same kind of propaganda that he's perpetrated to kill millions since 1984.
We know from this study quite clearly that there will be a delay in progression significantly greater than for individuals who do not take the drug.
It started really when I was 25 years old. I was part of the team that isolated HIV from the saliva and blood of the patients from France, where Luc Montagnier had originally isolated the virus. This was a confirmatory study, but Tony Fauci and Robert Gallo were working together then to spin the story in a different way. At that time, Dr. Rossetti was out of town, and Tony Fauci says, you know, we understand that you have a paper in press, and we want a copy of it. And I said, yes, there's a paper in press, and it's confidential, and no, I will not give you a copy of it. He started screaming at me, then he said, give us the paper right now, or you'll be fired for insubordination. And I just said, I'm sure when Dr. Rossetti gets back, you can have the conversation. And so Frank comes back, you know, several weeks later, and is really bullied into giving Fauci the paper. Fauci holds up the publication of the paper for several months, while Robert Gallo writes his own paper and takes all the credit, and of course patents are involved. This delay of the confirmation, you know, literally led to spreading the virus around, you know, killing millions.
All right, that's the voice of Dr. Judy Mikovits, and that's just the beginning of this documentary called Plandemic. Now, a couple of things I have to say about this. As I said before, I am not even capable of checking every fact that she's talking about. So what I'm going to do is just respond to the things that I do know with things that I know are true. First of all, she's talking about what she's accusing Dr. Fauci and his compatriot, who is Robert Gallo, of is stealing information from her and from others, from the doctor that she worked with, so that they could land the patents on these and make lots of money. That was the motivation, according to her. They had done some incredible research, and these doctors, according to her, including Fauci was the lead person in this, wanted to steal this information so that he could get the patents. All I can say is when you Google patents and Dr. Anthony Fauci, it says patents by inventor Anthony Fauci, and you see page after page after page of patents, many of them having to do with HIV/AIDS, which is what she was saying that she was researching. Many of them he owns that came out of research on AIDS. I guess I would wonder, you know, probably billions, maybe trillions of dollars to be made in getting a patent on some of these, certainly human tissue. And I'm not sure what they were patenting in this, but all I know is Dr. Fauci owns a lot of patents, and I'm sure he's not the only one. So that's part of her accusation. When she says she was arrested, it turns out what I'm reading from other sources is that she was arrested. She was accused of theft, but what she's saying in there, and I've heard her in other interviews, they planted notebooks in her home and were arresting her, accusing her of stealing things when the information was planted. She says in there that the FBI and the Justice Department sat on the case. They sealed it so that she could not get any help and could not clear her name. Does that sound far-fetched to you right now? Does it sound like, why no, the Justice Department and FBI would never do that? Remember, this is under the Obama administration in 2011. There's more to say. When we come back, we're going to play more of this short 26-minute documentary, Plandemic, with Judy Mikovits. It's pretty spellbinding, pretty stunning. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Because as I've said many times, and I'll repeat it, the worst is yet ahead for us. It is how we respond to that challenge that's going to determine what the ultimate endpoint is going to be. We have a very, very critical point now. If you look at the curves that I've described multiple times, this window that we're in is going to be very important for us to stay ahead of this curve. Thank you.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, as all the world looks on, at least the universe in our continent, the United States of America, and we look to this director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He's been in that position since 1984. Now he's with the Coronavirus Task Force. We've been hearing him every night. He testified before Congress this week. He's telling us we can't, oh, don't open up too early. You need to stay, be careful. Sporting events should not open up. Slow down, I'm sure. You know, we don't know if he has a political motive, but we do know that he was very dear friends with Hillary Clinton and that he began to speak out about a pandemic right after Donald Trump was elected, right before the election. We can be pretty certain that he was not a Trump supporter. We can be fairly certain that he was hoping for a President Hillary Clinton. That much we can be sure. All right, so here comes this video called, documentary called Plandemic, featuring Dr. Judy Mikovits, who says that Dr. Fauci is, I guess you would say she says he's criminal. She doesn't use that word, but she's accusing him of criminal acts of stealing things so that he could get the patents, of manipulating information and research. And I'm going to let you hear more from her. But I want to just say, Wikipedia has a whole several pages on Plandemic. Let me read to you what they say. Plandemic is a 26-minute conspiracy theory video released in May 2020 that promotes a variety of falsehoods and misinformation regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. And it goes on to say it's produced by Mickey Willis, who's been involved in lots of other discredited things. It says the producers, starring in the video, is a discredited former medical researcher. Then it says, promoted by conspiracy theorists, the video spread rapidly and virally on social media, garnering millions, I think I told you eight at least, making it one of the most widespread pieces of coronavirus misinformation. The video was removed from various platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, Twitter. By the way, if you read later on in this, it talks about the new book that Dr. Mikovits has just written, which is called Plague of Corruption, which is now number one on the Amazon, on the list in Amazon. They tried to stop the publisher of her book from publishing, but the publisher basically said back, you know, people should hear everything. They should have a right to, know everything. So, all I know is this is what Wikipedia is saying. Falsehoods, misinformation, discredited former medical researcher, promoted by conspiracy theorists, removed from various platforms. My question always is, if that's really true, why wouldn't you just let her speak? Won't we know in due course if she's crazy or if she might be telling the truth? Can't we figure this out for ourselves? Do we have to be managed or do we have to have this, what we often see is this campaign to discredit and destroy anyone who says anything contrary to the left's narrative. Right now, the left's narrative is that this is a pandemic, that it is going to break out, it's going to be worse, that we shouldn't open up, that we need to wear masks, that we need to follow all the rules of these governors, we need to not go to church. This is what we have to embrace if we want to be righteous in the culture in which we find ourselves. All right, so here comes this documentary, Plandemic. I want you to hear the next part featuring Dr. Judy Mikovits. Here it is.
Perhaps no one expressed the anguish of AIDS better than New York writer Larry Kramer. But he was even more angry at the federal government and the pharmaceutical industry. One person who felt Kramer's fury was NIH Dr. Anthony Fauci.
He called Tony Fauci the Bernie Madoff of science. It's still been crushing to me to think that I didn't know my work in 1999 was something that had been avoided. From 83 and 82, when the virus was isolated, the virus didn't have to wait until 84 to be confirmed. Think of how many people, the entire continent of Africa, you know, lost a generation as that virus was spread through because of the arrogance of a group of people. And it includes Robert Redfield, who's now the head of the CDC, right along with Tony Fauci. They were working together to take credit and make money, and they had the patents on it and tailored them to IL-2 therapy, which was absolutely the wrong therapy. And Had that not happened, millions wouldn't have died from HIV.
How can a man who's giving, any person who's giving global advice for health, own a patent in the solution in the vaccine? Isn't that a conflict of interest, or shouldn't it be?
It is a conflict of interest. And in fact, this is one of the things that I've been saying and would like to say to President Trump: repeal the Bayh-Dole Act.
Bayh-Dole fundamentally changed the way universities approach technology transfer. And you can see that best in the statistics. Universities obtain 16 times as many patents today as they did in 1980. Now, everybody's getting more patents, but still, universities' share of all patents in the United States is more than five times greater than it was before Bayh-Dole. The situation has gotten so bad that one information technology industry official has publicly referred to universities as, quote, crack addicts, unquote, driven by, quote, small-minded tech transfer offices addicted to patent royalties.
That act gave government workers the right to patent their discoveries, so to claim intellectual property for discoveries that the taxpayer paid for. Ever since that happened in the early 80s, it destroyed science. And this allowed the development of those conflicts of interest. And this is the crime behind letting somebody like Bill Gates, with billions of dollars — nobody elected him, he has no medical background, he has no expertise — but we let people like that have a voice in this country while we destroy the lives of millions of people.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
If we activate mandatory vaccines globally, I imagine these people stand to make hundreds of billions of dollars that own the vaccines.
And they'll kill millions, as they already have with their vaccines. There is no vaccine currently on the schedule for any RNA virus that works.
So I have to ask you, are you anti-vaccine?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, vaccine is immune therapy, just like interferon alpha is immune therapy. So I'm not anti-vaccine. My job is to develop immune therapies. That's what vaccines are.
Do you believe that this virus was created in a laboratory?
I wouldn't use the word created, but you can't say naturally occurring if it was by way of the laboratory. So it's very clear this virus was manipulated, this family of viruses was manipulated and studied in a laboratory where the animals were taken into the laboratory, and this is what was released, whether deliberate or not. That cannot be naturally occurring. Somebody didn't go to a market, get a bat. The virus didn't jump directly to humans. That's not how it works. That's accelerated viral evolution. If it was a natural occurrence, it would take it up to 800 years to occur. This occurred from SARS-1 within a decade. That's not naturally occurring.
And do you have any ideas of where this occurred?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it occurred between the North Carolina laboratories, Fort Detrick, U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease, and the Wuhan laboratory.
All right. That's Dr. Judy Mikovits, and that's from the documentary Plandemic, which we'll put the link on our Facebook page. And I am not declaring anything other than I just will tell you what I do know. Okay? So this is what I do know. According to Wikipedia, Dr. Mikovits just said that the virus was manipulated. And she thinks it was manipulated in the Wuhan lab. And she said that what it was a virus that did not, it was coming from animals, but it was not infecting humans. And she said that she feels that's what they did in that lab, and that's how it got out. And that's why human beings began to be infected. But Wikipedia, of course, knows better. They say an article in Nature, in a Nature analysis, that the likely origins and finds — this doesn't make any sense, but they just said an analysis according to Nature, an article, says, our analyses clearly show that SARS-CoV-2 is not a laboratory construct or purposefully manipulated virus. The problem is I have a Newsweek article in my left hand which says that, in fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci gave $3.7 million to that Wuhan lab through the National Institute for Health, And what they were doing was gain-of-function research, which involves manipulating viruses in the lab to explore their potential for infecting humans, because it creates a risk of starting a pandemic from accidental release. So scientists criticized him. I could go into that, but let me just say that this Newsweek article talks about the criticism, and yet they proceeded. They gave actually a total of $7.4 million to this process. And yet Wikipedia, of course, the final resting place of all knowledge, tells us that that's not true, and Dr. Mikovits is not telling the truth about that. Let's go on with the next clip from Plandemic.
$3.7 million flowed from the National Institutes of Health here in the U.S. to the Wuhan lab in China, the same lab where many people have said that this coronavirus infection first originated. We also now know that NIAID, the department associated with the National Institutes of Health, of which Dr. Anthony Fauci is in control, had already been conducting experiments with the Wuhan lab in the past in regard to coronavirus. If Dr. Anthony Fauci cannot be honest with the public about his connection to this lab, then Fauci has to go.
In 1999, I was working in Fort Detrick in USAMRIID there, and my job was to teach Ebola how to infect human cells without killing them. Ebola couldn't infect human cells until we took it in the laboratories and talked to them.
It's hard to ignore the death tolls. People have been dying. They are dying from this in quite alarming numbers. How do you reconcile that?
It's pretty easy when you see, for me, when you see what the government has done, and that is that they took, quoting Dr. Birx,
we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality.
If my husband were to die, who has COPD, his lungs have fibrosis, his lungs would look exactly like somebody with COVID-19, theoretically, but he has no evidence of infection. So if you're not testing and you don't have evidence of infection, and if you walked in there today, you know, they'd call it COVID-19. And we hear this from the doctors and nurses who are upset.
I've seen so many doctors online that have made their own webcam videos just perplexed by the protocol that the CDC had given them.
Well, last Friday, I received a 7-page document that sort of told me that if I had an 86-year-old patient that had pneumonia but was never tested for COVID-19, but sometime after she came down with pneumonia, we learned that she had been exposed to her son, who had no symptoms, but later on was identified with COVID-19, that it would be appropriate to diagnose on the death certificate COVID-19.
When I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
Why would they want to skew the number of deaths due to COVID-19?
Well, fear is a great way to control people. And sometimes people's ability to think for themselves is paralyzed if they're frightened enough. And that's not where I want people to be. I want people to say, we're going to get through this. I'm going to use my head. I'm going to go to different sources. I'm going to listen to different sources. And I'm going to think for myself, because that's what America's about.
If someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
You don't die with an infection. You die from an infection.
I've talked with doctors who have admitted that they are being incentivized to list patients that are sick or have died with COVID-19.
Yeah, $13,000 from Medicare if you call it COVID-19.
Right now, Medicare has determined that if you have a COVID-19 admission to the hospital, you'll get paid $13,000. If that COVID-19 patient goes on a ventilator, you get $39,000, three times as much.
And you've killed them with the ventilator because you gave them the wrong treatment.
All the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue. And I fear that this misguided treatment will lead to a tremendous amount of harm to a great number of people in a very short time.
My next question is about Italy. I want to know why Italy was hit so hard.
Italy has a very old population. They're very sick with inflammatory disorders. They got, at the beginning of 2019, an untested new form of influenza vaccine that had four different strains of influenza, including the highly pathogenic H1N1. That vaccine was grown in a cell line, a dog cell line. Dogs have lots of coronaviruses, and that's why they're not testing there. You could just say, oh, it was that.
All right, that's just another clip from Plandemic, the documentary. We'll put the link on our Facebook page. Just a couple of things. Let me just say that we do know that Medicare gets $13,000 for COVID patients. That's just true, even though Wikipedia says, no, Dr. Mikovits is lying about that. We also know that Dr. Birx herself said just last week, there is nothing from the CDC that I can trust. That's Robert Redfield, who you see up there almost every day as part of the coronavirus task force. He runs the CDC. She's talking about death toll numbers. She's saying that they're inflating those numbers by as much as 25%. That's Dr. Deborah Birx saying that. We'll be right back, Sandy Rios, in the morning.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
As the country begins emerging from the worst of the coronavirus epidemic, one question remains. What happened to all the hydroxychloroquine?
We know that hydroxychloroquine and zinc are working great for patients. And then Fauci comes out and says, well, there's no double-blind controlled placebo study, which, by the way, Dr. Fauci, is there going to be a double-blind controlled placebo study of your vaccine? Is there?
In a survey polling nearly 2,300 doctors in some 30 countries, hydroxychloroquine was ranked as the most effective medication to treat the virus.
The AMA was saying, you know, doctors will lose their license if they use hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malarial drug that's been on the list of essential medicine worldwide for 70 years. Dr. Fauci calls that anecdotal
data.
It's not storytelling if we have thousands of pages of data saying it's effective against these families of viruses. For 50 cents a dose, we could protect 1,000 people for 7 days, 2 doses a day, with one $600 vial. And that hasn't been done. This is essential medicine, and they keep it from the people. Not only now, but back in autism with our discovery, there was an old antiviral drug, 100-year-old drug called Suramin, on the WHO list of essential medicine. It literally gave kids with autism a voice, a life. What did Bayer and Monsanto do? They took it away from everybody. You couldn't get it to save your life right now, and we tried, believe me, every way we could. So when you take away a medicine, and not just the WHO, not just the WHO, the FDA, the CDC, Tony Fauci, close everything. Just end it all, and we've got a healthy world again. And we got tons of money because we can take all that money they're making on their patents and we can give it to the victims of this plague of corruption.
Dr. Judy Mikovits, again, in the documentary called Plandemic, which has been removed from all platforms. You cannot find it on YouTube. You will not be able to find it on Twitter or Facebook, but you will find it. Well, maybe they'll take it off of our Facebook page, but we have a link that maybe is disguised a little bit, so we're going to give it a shot. But you're hearing it here, and that's the reason I'm playing it. Now, Dr. Mikovits says, the segment starts like, what happened to hydroxychloroquine? What did happen to it? I remember very well that Dr. Fauci, President Trump, started talking about it had a lot of promise. He said it several times. But on the same platform, Dr. Fauci, Lord Fauci, who everyone trusts, he's wonderful, you see. He's trustworthy. He kept saying, oh, no, not so quick, not so quick. Oh, we're not sure. There might be some dangers. And then they came out with this study that was a bogus study in a VA a hospital about the effects of hydroxychloroquine with a population that was already had complications, and it was just not a valid study. But I remember that other people said other things about hydroxychloroquine. In fact, just to remind you, here's a montage. Let's listen. Clip 5.
I want to tell you about a 96-year-old man in Florida who said one night, I don't think I'm going to make it. I feel very weak. The end is coming. The next day, he was on hydroxychloroquine and antibiotics per his cardiologist. He got up the next day. He was fine. This man is my father.
For me, it saved my life. And I only can go by what it is that I have gone through. And I can't speak for anyone else. So that's not what I'm trying to do here.
Fortunately for me, you know, they put me on some meds and the HCQ worked great for me. I will be honest with you there.
What you're saying is you're prescribing it and it is working for COVID-19 patients.
Every patient I prescribed it to has been very, very ill. And within 8 to 12 hours, they were basically symptom free.
And your experience with the 80 or so patients you've treated is that you have a lower chance of being put on a vent if you're on the hydroxy, correct?
Correct.
If President Trump had not talked about this, it would not be something that's accessible for anyone to be able to get that right now. And my husband was able to pick that prescription up that night, and I was better within a couple of hours.
I said, if this was your father, would you prescribe it for your father? And he said that he would.
So far, so good. His temperature and oxygen level improving.
It's amazing. It really is. I'm glad I took the chance.
People call these stories anecdotal. Well, data is anecdotal. It's all a bunch of anecdotes. And
yes, it is.
At some point, we make decisions.
All right. So that's what Dr. Fauci said. That's just anecdotal. You know, that's just stories. But you know what? There were two doctors in those clips. And then a study just came out. There are other studies, but just one came out just a few days ago. This is from the Jerusalem Post. And the study was the International Journal of Microbial Agents. It basically says that they treated 211 healthcare professionals with hydroxychloroquine. After 10 days, nobody tested positive for the coronavirus. Also, the researcher told the Jerusalem Post that the Italian Society of Rheumatology interviewed 1,200 rheumatologists throughout Italy to collect statistics on contagion out of an audience of 65,000 chronic lupus and rheumatoid arthritis patients who systematically take hydroxychloroquine. Only 20 tested positive for the virus. So it is a lot more than anecdotal, and yet Anthony Fauci has managed to tap down any discussion, to taint any discussion of hydroxychloroquine, and yet is now pushing this, I think it's called remdesivir, which we know the boast of remdesivir is it just merely makes people recover 4 days sooner. That's what they brag about, and yet it can cause some very serious side effects. And they talked about the patent. They introduced the manufacturer. Do you think there's money to be made from this remdesivir? And Dr. Fauci's all about that medication, not so much about hydroxychloroquine, which, according to what I just told you, has had wonderful effect. All right, let's listen to this last segment of this documentary, Plandemic. Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Is it safe to say that anything that cannot be patented has been shut down intentionally because there's no way to profit from it, all these natural remedies that we have had forever?
Absolutely, that's fair to say, and that's exactly what's going on in COVID-19. The game is to prevent the therapies till everyone is infected and push the vaccines, knowing that the flu vaccines increase the odds by 36% of getting COVID-19.
Where does that data come from?
A publication last year where the military who had been vaccinated with influenza were more susceptible to coronaviruses. Coronaviruses are in every animal. So if you've ever had a flu vaccine, you were injected with coronaviruses. And then to put on a mask.
This doesn't make any sense. We wear masks in an acute setting to protect us. We're not wearing masks. Why is that? Because we understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. And now I'm at home, hand washing vigorously, washing the counters, worried about things that are indeed what I need to survive.
You're not immunodeficient, and you're not
elderly, you should be able to go out without any gloves and without a mask. I think if you are those things, you should either shelter in place or wear a mask and gloves. I don't think everybody needs to wear a mask and gloves because it reduces your bacterial flora. It doesn't allow you to interact with society, and your bacteria, flora, and your viruses, your friends that protect you from other diseases, end up going away, and now you're more likely to get opportunistic infections, infections that are hoping you don't have your good bugs fighting for you, if that makes sense.
And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses, bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike.
I guarantee when we reopen, there's going to be a huge, huge amount of illness that's going to be rampant.
The building blocks of your immune system is virus and bacteria. End of story.
Wearing the mask literally activates your own virus. You're getting sick from your own reactivated coronavirus expressions. And if it happens to be SARS-CoV-2, then you've got a big problem.
You're not the first virologist who has told me that we're doing the exact opposite of what we should be doing to contain and to create immunity from this virus.
Why would you close the beach? You've got sequences in the soil, in the sand. You've got healing microbes in the ocean, in the salt water. That's insanity.
These institutions that are polluting our environment and our bodies, there was a time when they actually had to fight their own battles. But they've done such a great job at manipulating the masses that it's other people shutting down other citizens, and the big tech platforms follow suit and they shut everything down. There is no dissenting voices allowed anymore in this free country, which is something I never thought I would live to see.
Nor would I, except what I've experienced since 2011. It's beyond comprehension how a society can be so fooled that the types of propaganda continue to where they're just driving us to hate each other.
You want to go to work?
Yes.
And get this disease? I think the medical profession know what they're talking about.
They've been wrong so far, ma'am. They've been wrong.
Hopefully, this is the wake-up call of all America to realize this makes no sense, and we win because it will take down the whole program with information like this. And for me, it's the great news that the doctors are waking up and saying, wait a minute.
You doctors that are watching this, and I see a lot of you right here, why are you not getting loud? I'm here to defend you. I'm here to defend my freedoms. I'm here to defend my family's freedoms, my patients' rights to choose what to do with their life. I'm just blown away. And I'm blown away why there are not more doctors like me talking about this all over the place. We should be banding together right now. You need to wake up because your liberties are getting taken away from you all because of fake news that's out there. This is wrong. People should be going to jail for this stuff.
So it's not the scientists who are in any way dishonest. They're listening to people who for more than 40 years have controlled who gets funded, what gets published. And I'm sorry to say many, many people will simply take the money and the fame and that support, things that absolutely aren't true.
What do you say to the medical professionals that are just beginning to get a glimpse of the depth to which they have been misled and steered away from their oath to do no harm?
I say forgive yourselves. It's the hardest thing to realize for all of us, and is that with all the best intention, we studied, we learned what we thought was the truth. We had no idea that the data that we were being told was true was not true. We've been taught now in our schools a very different science. You don't get funded if you don't speak the party line. You don't get published. That was probably the hardest thing for me to take, is understanding that scientific journals would twist the discovery that should have healed all.
Will the scientific community have the courage to answer the question of whether these diseases might have been of their own creation? Thank you.
So what we did pretty much ever since I got out of jail, we started an education company. we wake up doctors, and it's very difficult. But every doctor who realized they may have been part of the problem has now turned that around to march toward a better society and restore faith in the promise of medicine. That's all we can do.
All right, and that's pretty close to the end of the documentary called Plandemic, and that was Dr. Judy Mikovits. Is she telling the truth? Well, is she? Well, I could just say this, that during 2011, when she claimed that Fauci had her arrested and stole the research that she had done and blamed the theft on her from the company that she was working with, I remember that the Obama various departments, I remember them sending SWAT teams into a guitar plant making Gibson guitars with guns and ammunition because Gibson was using the wrong wood, according to an international treaty. I remember them fining farmers and private citizens who did not follow the rules that they'd written in the Energy Department over the usage of water on their own property. I remember lots of things, and I certainly do remember what's happening right now and what we're learning about the Justice Department, the FBI under Barack Obama, and the intelligence services. So I'll leave it to you to decide if you think Dr. Judy Mikovits is telling the truth about what we're hearing about this current coronavirus, about the precautions, the dangers, about needing to be closed down, needing to be held down in our own homes and our families and not going to work. I'll leave it to you to decide whether she's speaking the truth or not. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.